This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the parable of the prodigal son, the homecoming ends with a party. The father, who has embraced his son upon his return, announces that there will be a celebration. The fatted calf is slaughtered and the people don their party clothes. I imagine that the best wine was served, with many visitors invited to celebrate. Perhaps the prodigal son met childhood friends he had not seen in years. Perhaps the family invited others who needed the connection of a community for their own reasons. The parable reminds us that the aim and end goal of forgiveness is not only to forgive, but also to celebrate in community with one another. You're invited to join us as we celebrate the good news of an empty tomb on Easter morning. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, April 11, 2021. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God. You have been faithful and true through good times and bad. Forgive us for doubting when we have not seen your hands at work. Open our eyes, our ears, our minds to the glory of what you are about in this world. Open our hands to both receive from you and to reach out to others. Breathe into us the new life of your Holy Spirit, that we might breathe out your good news. This we pray in the name of the one who is our foundation, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, let us find ourselves in an attitude, an atmosphere of prayer as we humble our hearts and find ourselves centering our hearts before God in prayer. Let us begin that in silence. Let us pray. The message of Easter, gracious and loving God, must continue to ring in our hearts. He is risen. He has risen indeed, and is seated at your right hand. And in the profession of the church, we believe he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. And Father, as we come before you today, we thank you for your many blessings, blessings of grace, blessings of love, blessings of peace, blessings of family, friendship, fellowship, blessings of sunrises and sunsets. We thank you for blessings large and small, for friends and family, for those who love us and those who we love. And Father, even as difficult as it may be, we thank you for the challenges that we face, for they require us to trust and turn even more to you. And Father, as we come before you, we seek forgiveness for our sins. We seek forgiveness for the sins of commission, of the things that we have done we should not have, but also for the sins of omission, for the things we should have done but have not. Father, forgive us for that which we have done that we should not, and for the things we have not that we should have. Forgive us, we pray. And Father, let us look within our own heart and see that there isn't perfection. And let us look around and see others and realize that we too are sinners saved by grace. And give us the strength then to forgive others, to accept them as you do, to love them as you do. For you call us to love as we have been loved, to forgive as we have been forgiven. For Jesus said, in like manner you have been forgiven, forgive others. And Father, in just a few minutes we'll pray together. And in that prayer we will say, forgive us as we forgive others. And Father, as we seek our forgiveness, we seek also that you would hear our hearts for the burdens we carry, for the people we name in our hearts, for the problems we see in our lives and in the lives of our communities and the world. Father, we pray for the oppressor and the oppressed. We pray for the victim and the victimizer, for Father, both are broken. We pray into a culture of violence, not into the objects, but into the why. We pray, Father, that you would heal, touch, and bless hearts and lives, and that they would look unto you for your solutions, for your hopes, for your plans, for your directions. For Father, how can we know the way without you? Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world who serve you, who praise you, who endure hardships for you out of their love of you and their gratitude for the cross and the empty tomb. We do pray for our community, our nation, and nations around the world. Father, we want to join also to pray for revival, change of hearts, and change of lives. That'll bring back a change in our communities. Father, we pray today that your will be done. We pray for those who are in hospitals, shut-ins in their own homes, those who await tests, and we'll have others. We pray for those who are caregivers, who serve our country and our communities in many different ways. God, may you bless them, be with them, and strengthen them, whatever they may face. And now may you hear us as we join our hearts to pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Is the cry of the church, the call of Easter, and all that follows after the resurrected Christ. He lives. Great old songs, he lives. He's in the world today. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. My Redeemer lives. So many of our lyrics and our hymnody go to talk about the resurrected Lord. But I am a bit concerned where we find ourselves as the church, not just us, but the church, the body of Christ. We find ourselves in a world today of unchurched. We're probably looking at least three generations dating from the 60s of people who now have no knowledge of the church, the history, the stories. Today, we even have people who are in the church who are still unchurched. They don't attend a single Bible study, a book study, a scripture study. Sunday school classes are empty. They occupy place on Sunday, but that's about it. How can it have power to change a life when we only have a little bit of it? I told Tom and Kathy that my sermon today would be a little thorny. The reality is, three generations and a half-hearted generation of the church today is where we are. Jesus said, "I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm." And that may be the state of the church today. But folks, you need to understand you're either totally saved or totally lost. Jesus says your yes is your yes and your no is no. You're either serving him as your Lord or you're just giving token homage to an image you hope gets you out of hell free. Three generations means there are blank slates out there. And the only thing they know about Jesus is Jesus effing Christ is their phrase. The only thing they know about God is he's got a dam down here in the Green River Gorge. That's their favorite byword. They don't know the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, David, Saul. They don't know the stories of Jesus, James, and Paul. They don't know the history and the martyrdom of Stephen, stoned, and his blood spilling out onto the feet of a young Pharisee named Saul, who would later become apostle number 12, and his name will be Paul. They don't know about the beatings of Paul and Barnabas. They don't know of the shackles and chains. They don't know the story of the cross and the beating of our Savior. They don't know the stories. They're blank slates. Maybe we don't know them well enough ourselves or believe them. Or maybe we haven't let them permeate our very being, our souls, if you will. For Jesus said, if you want to be my followers, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say a half-hearted effort will get you there. He didn't give us a half-hearted effort for us to get there. So, Pastor, what's this thorny message? Well, there are some truths that we as the church need to have. And with blank slates out there, they'll believe anything, even false doctrines. And indeed, they have for many years. And the belief and the following of false doctrines only grow. And now false doctrines are becoming mainstream instead of marginalized, instead of questioned, because we're not allowed to do that anymore. So what are some truths that we find some in this very text? Did you see them? Did you notice them here? I'm going to dive off into the briar patch, and I'm going to take you with me. You need to notice in this passage of Scripture that Jesus appears to his disciples, not 70, but his 11. The first time 10, because Thomas wasn't there, but 11 of his disciples. 11 of the ones Jesus chose in person. 11 who had walked with him, who had saw him raise the dead, cause the blind to see and the lame to walk. And he says to them, peace be with you. Great, I love. If a dead man showed up in my house with the doors locked, I would certainly hope he'd say, peace be with you. Because I would certainly not be very peaceful about it. So he says, peace be with you. And then he shows him his hands and his feet. And Thomas, I ain't going to believe it unless I put my finger in there. And it's funny, 8 days later, by the way, 8 days, not just a week. Thomas is there. Jesus says, hey, buddy, come here. Put your hand. I don't need to do that now. I see you. You know, all of a sudden he's back down. But Jesus heard him when Jesus wasn't there. So Jesus knows our thoughts and our words, even when we don't see him, because he's here. So now we've got Jesus, and he does something that goes overlooked. It goes unnoticed. You need to know Jesus is with them as I am with you. And while Jesus is with them, he says, I send you out. Even as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And I breathe on you, receive you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you that whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever you do not forgive, they're not forgiven. Notice that. You see that? You don't have your Bibles open. You heard that, right? When she read it. Notice Jesus is with them. Please notice, because I'm going to get into what is a huge false doctrine in the church today, which is a huge lie that is proposed. Now, you've got Jesus is with them, right? How many of you know that you also received a gift of the Holy Spirit, but not this one? This one ain't yours. This one ain't ours. This one belongs to those men assembled in that room and later to Paul on the Damascus Road. This is an apostolic anointing for the birth and the beginning of the church. That's why he picked the disciples he picked, and that's why he empowers the disciples he empowered. When John dies, who's the last disciple to die, the apostolic age ends. There are no more personally picked apostles of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I said? Now, here's the rub. If there are no more apostles, and if there are people who claim to be apostles, then what are they? False apostles. If you have false apostles who claim to be apostles but are not really apostles, and they're teaching, what are they teaching? False doctrine. And if you're following false apostles, false doctrine, what are you in? A false religion. So are you in redemption, salvation, or what? There we go. Now, which one did we get, Pastor? You got the Pentecost one. You got the one that's found in Acts, where there were 70 or more disciples in an upper room. Jesus has ascended to his Father because he told his disciples, you need to understand it's better that I go, because if I don't go, the Father won't send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But if I go, he'll send the Holy Spirit. So down we go. Jesus ascends. He goes to heaven. He's up there with God. And the disciples are gathered in the upper room in a Honda. It says they're all in one accord. I mean, okay, it was the first car thing, whatever, you know, where you try to get all the people in there. So you got 70, and they are up there, and all of a sudden they hear a mighty rushing wind, cloven tongues of fire rest upon their heads, and they go out into the street, and they began to proclaim the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit we get. That is the birth of the church and the beginning. But guess who preaches? Peter. One of those in the upper room back here. You see, those 12, 11 and later Paul, are the only ones that get a double dip of the Holy Spirit. One in person by Jesus, and one in an upper room from God. You got that? So now we got about the false apostles. Well, now let's go on and choose some more stuff. Here you go. Jesus gives these guys the right to forgive sins. Or not forgive sins. When these guys die, nobody else gets that. Do you understand? It goes with them. It's gone. It's out. It's gone. It's done. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. How many of you know what that means? Ouch. Nobody been to Sunday school, confirmation classes, or they didn't teach it. You think you? We believe that we don't need a priest anymore. That when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the veil of the temple was ripped open. And we now have access to God. And Jesus says, when you pray to God in my name. You have access. God hears your prayers. God forgives you your sins offered in the name of Jesus. I'm dying for your sins. You don't got to go get it someplace else. Jesus died once and for all sins. I picked songs out so you'd hear all that as you sang them this morning. I don't need, and you don't need somebody to tell God what you did wrong. You don't need somebody to forgive you your sins. Jesus did it. You need to accept it. Jesus also says, you need to be real careful out there. There are a lot of people who are going to come in my name, and they're going to deceive a lot of people. They're going to say to you, I'm Christ, and Christ is here. Don't go after them because I've ascended. I'm in heaven. Don't do it. And he said, be careful that you do not call anybody on earth, get this, Father, except God alone who is in heaven. Do I need to dive off this board or you got it? You got it. I think I made it plain. Now, Pastor, what do you mean? That's what it says in here. I'm just telling you what it says. I'm not telling you to go look it up. The reality is there are false religions in the world today and false Christs, and they are deceiving many, and the church of Jesus Christ is quiet and silent and doing nothing. We don't have teeth. We don't have energy. We forgot how to evangelize. We forgot to tell people they need to repent. We make a yellow brick road. Hey, y'all come this way. It'll be okay. Oh, everybody's going. No, you ain't. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. That's what the truth is. Pick you any. Jesus said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and there are many going that way. But narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and few there be find it. And then he gives us some parables. Do you like the parables? How many of you like parables? Tell me your favorite one. Prodigal son. Anybody else? Sowing seeds. Anybody else? Can you tell I'm feeling better? A little more energy. The Good Samaritan? How many of you just like parables but you don't remember any? There we go. You need to spend a little more time in the book. I knew that was what was hiding out. I'm just going to say it, you know. I'm the elephant in the room, and I'm just going to pet the other elephant in the room. The reality is, church, if we don't get on fire for Jesus, if we don't believe it, we'll never convince anybody else. If we don't believe Jesus is our Messiah, that's what John wrote the book for, by the way. You did notice authors, purpose, teachers, and those of us, it's right there in the last verse. You know, why didn't he start out that way? I'm going to write this so you'll know, so we can figure, you know, get it as we go. Church, we have forgotten how to evangelize. We went to sleep at the wheel, and we've let the devil eat our lunch. And the church is almost into irrelevance, and false teachers and false doctrines and false faiths and false hopes and false religion are sending people to hell every single day. It's turning our communities inside out and upside down. It's not ministering to people. It's not helping people change their lives. It's not giving them an eternal hope and an eternal presence in the midst of tight times, difficult times, and bumpy times. The only hope that we have and the only hope that we can sustain is based in our relationship with God. Jesus died for every single sin. He died for every single sinner. But he says, if you want to be my disciple, he said in the Great Commission in Matthew, go and make disciples. He didn't say make Christians. I'm about sick of Christians. We need some disciples in the world. Those who are willing to take up their cross, deny themselves, and follow Christ. Church, if we don't stop being half-hearted and half-efforted, we'll be in oblivion too. Don't come in here hoping that I'm going to say just what you want me to hear, because I've got news for you. We're going to get down where the basics are. There's false religions out there, and they're going to destroy our kids. They're going to destroy our communities. They're going to destroy our schools. They're going to destroy your lives. They're going to separate families. The devil's at work. He's having a field day. If you haven't saw that, if you haven't noticed that, then get your head out of the proverbial sand pile and pay attention. Rock Springs, Wyoming is 67% broken homes. 67%, higher than the national average. We're higher than any other city in the state of Wyoming. We have the highest percentage of kids with a parent in jail or prison in the state of Wyoming. We have the highest instance of blended homes in the state of Wyoming. Well, Pastor, how do you mean I live in a horrible community? Oh, no, we live in a community filled with opportunity for the Christ. We live in a community that is literally white unto harvest, a place where the church needs to be relevant, where Christ and healing and grace need to be preached. But what are we doing? We hired your preacher. You can do it. Good luck with that. How many of you told anybody about Jesus this week? How many of you have introduced somebody to your Jesus? Do you know your Jesus? Maybe is a better question. What's he done for you? Can you tell somebody? I had an opportunity to tell about 100 people at a funeral this week about my Jesus. Don't you think that if I don't get a chance, I'll tell them? But you know, they expect me to, right? I'm the preacher. Yeah. So I get a get out of free card. You know, I don't maybe face the same thing. Only thing is, they don't invite me to go to places you get to go. I don't get to mix with the same people you do. There ain't nobody inviting me to a cookout where the beer is flowing. But maybe they're inviting you. How's your witness? Have you told them about Jesus? Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's time to get real, church. Past time. There are false religions in this world, and they are destroying hearts and lives a little at a time. The truth is in the Word of God. We need to be in it. we need to be in it. And even more than that, it needs to be in us. Half-hearted, semi-serving, it's not what he's calling us to. He don't call one person to do everything. He calls everyone to do it all. Each one contributes their part. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, this has been a bumpy sermon this morning. Pray for me. Slip your hand up and right back down so I can pray for you. Pastor, I'm afraid I might be one of those lukewarm ones. How about praying a little extra for me this morning? Pastor, I've got it all together. No problems. Just pray for me and I'll pray for you. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Pastor, I want to pray for our community. I'll join you in that. Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Pastor, I want to pray for the families in Rock Springs, Wyoming that are struggling, but they're hiding it, who are worried and can't tell anybody. Slip your hand up. Pastor, I want to pray for the kids that are coming into schools out of brokenness and pain. You see, kids represent what they live in. They're a reflection of what their life is like. Pastor, I want to pray for those kids this morning. Will you do that? Slip your hand up and just pray for these kids. Pastor, I want to tell people how Jesus has been so good to me. Pray that I'll have strength to tell them. Slip your hand up. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, help us be the church that Christ calls us to be. To stand on truth and grace. To share love, but share truth. To challenge falsehoods, and to share truth. Father, may we serve you in a dark and difficult time. For it's now, maybe as much as in our lifetime, that we must share the light of Christ into the world. For truly, Easter means our Savior lives. Amen. May we go knowing Christ as not only our Savior, but our Lord. May we go to be able to tell somebody about what Christ means to us and what Christ has done in our lives. May we go to reflect the light of Christ into the brokenness of a world that does exist around us. And now may Christ go with you and you with Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.